How do you fit in a life other than your practice and committee assignments to major committees in the Texas Senate?
Well, I'm a young man and motivated and ready and willing to serve. And, you know, it's an honor and a privilege. It's a big job, but one I feel like I'm ready for and capable of and going to give all my attention and devotion to.
Well, and I was going to say congratulations along those lines. It speaks highly of what you've done, not only in the Senate, but when you were in the Texas House as well.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Both of those appointments, I was, as you know, appointed to both the Finance Committee and then also chair of the Health and Human Services Committee. Both of those positions require a lot of work and a lot of dedication.
And when you think about it, there's really going to be a lot of interaction between the two because Health and Human Services is going to take up a chunk of money.
Sure. The health portion of the state budget between Medicaid and our state support living centers and mental health system is $78 billion out of $197 billion total all funds budget. So it's a huge portion of our state budget. The chairman of the Health and Human Services Committee, which I am now the chairman, serving on the Finance Committee, they tend to have a significant input on how those dollars are spent.
There's been very little time, I'm sure, to really get your head around what kind of priority list you're going to set up. How far along or what do you think your timetable is going to be to get yourself established on how and in what order you're going to address things?
Well, right now I'm looking at individuals to bring on to my team. I already have a very good district team and capital team, but I also need a committee staff as well. You know, my priorities, though, are the priorities I think I have some potential positive impact on. I have real-world experience being a physician as well as a pharmacist, and really it boils down to making sure that there's accessibility for patients and affordability for families and then also accountability to our taxpayers when it comes to health care and health care policies.
And you already have the experience being on House Appropriations. You know how the state budget works. And, of course, you've had time in the Senate as well. And trying to be able to meld all that together, that's the challenge.
It is. It is. It is each 2 years, you know, setting our budget and making sure that we have a responsible, conservative budget that prioritizes what we spend our taxpayer money on. You know, that's always a challenge, and every 2 years we get to go through that exercise. When I was on appropriations in the House, I actually did help manage the Article 2 section of the budget, which is the health care portion of the budget. So I've actually done it somewhat already. I wasn't the lead on that. That was Chairman Zerwas. But this time around, being on the Senate Finance Committee, I obviously will have a much larger role in setting the Article 2 health care portion of our budget.
And I'm expecting your experience in the House is going to fare you well when we get down to conference committee sorts of things as the next session moves along.
Sure. I have a lot of friends in the House. It is a unique advantage and insight I have learning or knowing how the House works and knowing who the leaders are and the upcoming leaders. There's a lot of good people over there. I look forward to working with them.
On to your assignment with the Senate Finance Committee. It's also the first opportunity for Senator Nelson to work as chairman of Finance, and if I understand correctly, if I recall correctly, she was also chair of Health and Human Services. So there just seems to be a lot of things fitting well like a puzzle.
That's right. Chairwoman Nelson had been chair of the Health and Human Services Committee for, I believe, 12 years. And she has obviously unique insight into the health care portion of the budget. And I look forward to learning from her, but also from Senator Ogden, who I talk to frequently. And there are issues with finance that I occasionally give him a call and seek his guidance and opinion on.
And I'm sure he enjoys those conversations.
Yeah, you know, he does. He does. I know he's out there drilling for oil, but you know, there are occasionally times that I think he likes to reminisce and give input, and I certainly welcome it because he's a great man.
Well, and some historical context is also welcomed.
Yes, yes, and sometimes that's what's missing. You might have all the information in front of you and good judgment, but having that historical context is sometimes makes a difference in what your decision is.
Regarding finance, what are some things that are on your mind there in addition to what we've already discussed in Health and Human Services?
Well, I'd like to see some taxpayer relief for our homeowners. We're pretty high up on the list of property tax states, and Texas is doing well in keeping Texas running so effectively to the point now that we do have potentially some revenue that we can afford some tax relief to homeowners. When it comes down to the budget, though, for me, it's making sure that our taxpayer dollars are spent efficiently and effectively and for the essential services of the state of Texas.
How much of a issue is the rainy day fund going to be?
Well, we're going to have with the boom in oil and gas and fracking and horizontal drilling, we're going to have a significant amount of money in the rainy day fund. There's going to be individuals that want to spend it one way and tax relief, for instance, and other people that will want to put it to other endeavors or causes or concerns. And that's the discussion we'll have at the legislature. It's going to be an interesting one.
Well,
sometimes it's actually harder to govern when you have more money rather than less. I came in 2011 in the depths of a recession, and it was easier to say no when you have a little bit extra. It's sometimes hard to divide up what you have to some very good priorities, but actually making those priorities and allocating those dollars sometimes are actually more difficult.
You expect there's going to be a lot more discussion once the elections are over with, since we're still sort of up in the air about who's going to be in what place?
Yes, it's going to be, we obviously have the November elections, and I certainly expect and hope and pray that General Abbott and Dan Patrick will be our governor, lieutenant governor. But we will already be proceeding on with Senate finance hearings under the direction of Chairwoman Nelson. We have a lot of work to do in preparation of the session. A lot of work is done, actually, the 6 months leading up to the session through the committee.
Will politics get in the way, do you think?
Well, there's always politics involved in any decision when you're, the budget is not immune to that. But I think people on both sides of the aisle understand that we have to move Texas forward and prioritize what we spend our money on, and roads and education and health care. I think tax relief would be again a priority this session in particular.
My apologies for using the wrong word. Politics is a way of life 24/7. I guess I was referring more to campaigning in the election season.
Oh, yes. Well, I do have an opponent. There are other individuals with opponents, and that does take some focus away. But I'm prepared to do all sorts of things in reference to dividing my time to where I get out and reestablish why I want to serve, but also making sure that I fulfill the obligations I've been given through appointments by Governor Dewhurst.
One other item, it's my understanding Governor Perry's holding a news conference this afternoon. It's expected that the Texas National Guard's going to be deployed along the border. The financial impact of that, as well as addressing those children who have crossed the border from a health standpoint.
Right. Yes, that's my understanding, too. I'm in support of Governor Perry's decision to call up the National Guard to, this is a humanitarian crisis, but this is also an issue that affects the sovereignty of the United States and the sovereignty of Texas. And this is something I feel needs leadership. And unfortunately, we're not getting that leadership from the federal administration and President Obama. And I applaud Governor Perry for taking that leadership.
And particularly as it, again, impacts the state financially and trying to deal with Texas citizens from a health standpoint.
It affects the state. It affects local communities. It affects the safety of our citizens. It affects the long-term trajectory of our state. It's a serious issue that needs serious leadership. And, again, we're not getting it from Washington. And Governor Perry has over the last several weeks, been shown to be a leader in this, and I'm proud that he's doing what he's doing.
Anything else that I've missed regarding the appointments or any other business going on state politically?
No, Bill, I'm just very honored and look forward to getting to work, and thank Governor Dewhurst as well as Senator Patrick for their confidence, and again, look forward to serving people at District 5 and the state of Texas.